I'm trying to remember. I can't remember somebody I'm very fond of. I can't remember who's his name.
I can see. Thank you.
Well, I love you. Yeah, we're good.
All right.
So, Winchester.
Okay.
Yeah, so I
It is 4 o'clock, and so we will call the meeting of the Arts and Historical Preservation Commission order. And we will, I don't know if we have any introductions. How about this as our way of taking attendance? Each one of you just say your name, you're here.
Darlene Herrera, second we're here.
Myself, Press, here.
Mario Montesino.
Okay, Dorothy Garcia.
Nick Cataldo.
Rick Moss.
Thank you. We're supposed to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and sometimes I forget that. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And there is no public here for comments. So we need to approve the minutes of the meeting of March 18th. And we have that in front of you. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of March 18th?
I move that we approve the minutes as written.
March
18th,
yes.
As written.
Okay. Sarah, second?
I second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of March 18th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Our big discussion today is going to be on the arts grants, which we approved at last month's meeting that we would proceed with the applications for the arts grants and do what needed to be done in order to get that moving. So it is the grant application is on the city website. It has also been sent to previous applicants. And so hopefully people out there are working on it. You have a timeline in front of you. Timeline, I keep using my papers here. You have a timeline in front of you that we need to use, or that we will use in terms of how this proceeds. And this timeline's really, really important that we have. You're going to notice there are some special meetings there. It is absolutely imperative that we have a quorum at these meetings because it's going to be very difficult to change these times. And so I want you to look at these days really carefully so we know where we're going. As I said, the applications are available now. They are to be returned to the city, to the Office of Parks and Recreation, and then Lisa will be accepting those and time stamping those by Wednesday, April 24th. That's a week from this Friday. But they will have had 3 or 4 weeks to work on. On the 25th, which is a Thursday, we're asking commissioners to come over here to the Parks and Recreation office and pick up however many applications there are, 15, 20, however many there are. You will pick them up. And at the same time, I will move over the score sheet. At the same time, you'll pick up score sheets. You have then time to read those applications. And all of you have a draft copy or a copy, blank copy of the application. Yes.
How many do we pick up?
We don't know. We'll talk about that in a minute when we get to this.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, May the 4th, We are hoping that we have a quorum for a special meeting to do interviews of the applicants. They will be given a time to come. They'll be given about, it depends on how many, whether they're given 20 minutes or half an hour, but it depends on how many. And so they will come, and we will let you know later where that's going to be. But it's an all day. It probably is an all day, or at least a good part of the day. So if that's a problem for you, then you need to make that known very, very soon, because otherwise we won't be able to do it if we don't have a quorum. Then we will have a special meeting on May 9th, another special meeting on May 9th, to talk about our recommendations for who gets the grants, for how much they are awarded. And of course, that always is going to depend on how many there are and what they're asking for. And then tentative notification to the applicants by May 30th, just saying, you know, this has been recommended, it's going before council on such and such a date. That's all we can say. And then we hope that our recommendation to City Council will take place on Wednesday, June 5th, at that particular meeting. This gets it done before the end of the fiscal year, with us spending that whole $300,000, or at least a great portion of it, before the end of the fiscal year, which gives us a better chance. If we do that, it gives us a better chance to request money in next year's fiscal budget. So look at that timeline and think about, I mean, look at your calendars, see if you have problems with any of those, with those two special meetings, and talk about that.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Is there time for questions?
Yes, there's time for questions.
For that all day. There's 24 hours in a day, so
all day during the work day. No, Saturday, and it depends on how many of them there are, but I would say it could be 8:30, it could be 9, it could be 3 o'clock, it could be 4 o'clock. That's kind of the range.
And so, Donnie, I think what we had discussed is the time period, the duration of the interviews will be adjusted according to the number of applicants that we have. So if we have 10 applicants, obviously we can give them
half an hour,
reasonable amount of time, 30 minutes,
right,
20 minutes, whatever it is. But if we have 30 applicants, we're going to have to cut that time down.
More like 20 minutes.
And ask them to, you know, be specific and concise with their...
And in the past, the applicants have been really good about coming in on time and coming in early and sitting and waiting until it was their time. So they've been really good about that. But the reason we would do this interview is so that you will have read the applications by then. And so as you read the applications, you will be taking notes and filling out your score sheet, taking notes so that you think, what did they mean by that? You will have some questions that you want to ask them that clarify exactly what it is they plan to do. It may be a financial question. It may be a question about the plan. And then, if you'll look in your packet, you will see something that says reviewers. It's a three-page like this. And it's the score sheet that you can use as you fill out the application, as you read the applications. It's based on the application, and so there are some things that disqualify them right away. If they're not a 501c3 nonprofit organization, if they're not a teacher in the city of San Bernardino, and we should have said San Bernardino School District there, because some of those schools are not geographically in the city of San Bernardino. If it's a Parks and Recreation Community Center, if it's none of the above, then you just cross that off and you don't have to go any further because they're disqualified at that point. The majority of the board members, and they will do a list of their board members, and in that application it says either work or live in San Bernardino. So say they have several board members who don't live in San Bernardino but work within the city. Mm-hmm. And so they need to put that work address in there so that you know that. So that's a majority of them. If they don't have a majority, they are disqualified. And then is the request for a public performance, exhibits, classes, or workshops held in the city of San Bernardino. And if that's not true, they're disqualified. And then you can check whatever you want to do in terms of the request relates to. It might just be one area. It might just be music. Or it might be several areas in the arts that they're asking for funds for. Then you use the following score sheet to evaluate each grant section. And this is directly tied into the application. If they fulfill all of those points under three, they get 3 points. They may not. They may fulfill part of them and they get 2 points. They may, their description may only include 4 of the 6 criteria above, and then they get 1 point. And if it's incomplete, with 3 or fewer, they don't get anything. Same thing on the rest of these. And there on the second page, you have a choice. You can choose which of those you want to use for that particular applicant. It may just be music, it may just be theater, you choose the first one. It may be dance, and it may be literary arts, it may be visual arts exhibits, choose the second. It may be art classes, and that's all they're doing, so you choose the third one. So you can choose whichever you want there based on their application and what they're asking for. And then on that next section, the intended results of the projects, and that again is tied right to the application. High needs groups are targeted for participation. Multiple performances are planned. And a large number of participants are expected to participate or attend. And in the application, you know, they have to tell you what they expect. How many do they expect to participate? And if they have all those three items, then you give them a 3. If they only have 2 of them, you give them a 2. If they only have 1, you give them a 1. And then on the last page, it's tied to does it achieve a balance between the project cost and the anticipated revenue? And this is really tricky because many of them aren't going to charge any revenue. For many of them, there's not going to be any revenue at all. It depends on who they're serving. Some of them will be asking admission costs for some of the things that they do. But what we've said before is, and we're talking about the organization's revenue there. The organization's projected revenue is adequate compared to the project's cost. And then it's low compared to the project's cost. It's equal compared to the project's cost. And then it's more than 40% of the organization's revenue. And that's a difficult one. I think you have to look at that, look at who they plan to serve, and is it something that they could be charging revenue for, charging but they're not. And then the next one, is it a good fit for its future plans? And there's a place where they have to say what their future plans are. And so it's the same thing there. Is there an excellent fit? And then do they have a history of doing this kind of thing in the past? And that's pretty easy because they will have written something about their history. So that's pretty easy. So are there questions about this? Having read the blank application, does this work for you? No questions. And so what they've been told in what went on the website and in the application itself, if they have questions about any of the application, they are to email Lisa, and then she will.
The old Arts Commission, did you have the same?
We didn't change it at all. As I said, there are some balance between project cost and anticipated revenue. If we had time, we could probably change that. So you can put your judgment there. But it is exactly the same that we used before. spreadsheet kind of thing. And I'm only giving you, I did this one, and I'm only suggesting you look at it just in terms of in 2017, which was the last year that arts grants were given. These are the people, these are the organizations that applied. Hmm. And shows you what they requested and what they received, which was significantly, in many cases, less than they requested, because we had set a limit of 200,000 at that point. And then there were several that requested but were not funded. And I can probably tell you what the rationale was there if you ask. We didn't prepare that for you, but if you are concerned about what the rationale was for not funding them, I can probably tell you what that was, the kinds of things that we didn't fund for. And then some of them were just disqualified from the beginning. Had to do with them. It had to do with either their board not being a majority San Bernardino, had to do with not a financial statement, and it had to do with Rialto High School. It had to do with the principal not ever sending a letter of support.
So, you know. That's
yeah.
All it took.
But if you have any questions about that, any of them, either funded or non-funded. And this is just for your information. Obviously, we're not going to use this, but this is for your information, just to see how that worked.
Do you expect many of them to return?
Yes.
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 So 2017 to 18 is 200,000. Is in the book. Well,
that's what we set as a limit. At that point, we had 300,000 or not. But we set the limit because we had already spent some of that 300,000 on some other projects, and so that we just that was the commission's vote. Now, this, Jim, do you want to? Would you share what your feelings about this, about why we need to go for the full 300,000, if we have enough applicants?
Well, we need to go for the full 300,000 because we don't want to leave funding that's been appropriated for the arts. Because I did look at the letter that you guys sent. At the very tail end of the Fine Arts Commission, the request that Gil had put together was for $300,000 to be put into the budget for the arts. That was done. It was not specific as to whether the entire $300,000 needed to be through the grant program or for other projects. But at this point in time, if we don't award the $300,000 and get it out into the community, then there's not enough time left in the fiscal year to expend the rest of the money for the arts like it was intended. So this is our, if we award the full $300,000, then we're getting the $300,000 out into the community through the grants, and giving the opportunity to spend the dollars that were appropriated for that purpose. Because If we only appropriate $200,000, we're not gonna be able to spend the other $100,000. It's gonna be left in the budget, and then moving forward, it's difficult to ask for an appropriation that we didn't fulfill our commitment to spend the year before.
Because right now is it $300,000 a year?
That's what we have in that.
Well, there's nothing. Moving forward, saying that council is going to set aside or appropriate that $300,000 for the arts next year, I think that's a decision that city council has to make according to priorities.
Sure.
Cultural development construction fee fund has a significant balance in it. But there's nothing really controlling those expenditures. It's put into the general fund, mm-hmm. and it is spent at the will of the council. So moving forward, mm-hmm. we can make a recommendation to the mayor and city council that they continue to fund the arts programs throughout the city at a specific amount, but there's no guarantee that moving forward, they're gonna approve that, or council has the they have the prerogative of reappropriating those funds.
So we want to make sure we really want to have enough applicants.
We want to make sure that if council is approving a $300,000 appropriation, mm-hmm. that we're doing our job to make sure that that appropriation gets mm-hmm. effectively out into the community, sure. where that's the council's intent, mm-hmm. is to make sure that these organizations are funded and able to provide services and programming that, as a city, we're not able to staff and provide those services. Mm-hmm. This is our way of making sure that the community has access to art programs and those types of things, because we don't have the staff to implement that program. And so the money needs to be out into the community, and we had that period of time where we weren't able as a commission to meet and keep this thing rolling. So we need to condense the timeline this time, make sure that we get that money spent, and then that gives us sound footing to stand on when we sit before council in right. this next budget period and say, okay, we've got everything in order to make sure that if you set this money aside for us again in 1920, we have a process to make sure that it gets to the intended target.
At what point, we don't have it on the agenda for today, but at what point then do we need to make that recommendation for next year? Because we have to both make that recommendation.
We should do that. We've got one more meeting.
We're aiming for June.
We need to do it in the next meeting.
So the next meeting, and it might even be at our June 9th special meeting if we have time. Because our next meeting is May 20th.
Well, special meeting.
May 20th.
We need to put that on the agenda, right, Lisa?
I'm sorry.
If they wanted to make a recommendation for funding in the 247 fund, from the 247 fund, to be placed into the budget for 1920, then they would need to. We just need to put that on the agenda for a special meeting.
Yeah, because they'd need to make the official motion and the official recommendation, because that's what's going to go to council.
Right. And would that be at our? Is May 20th too late?
It could be either one. It depends on when you guys wanted to do it, because we would set the agenda for your special meeting anyways.
Right.
So if you wanted to include it, you know, because it's only going to be a 5-minute discussion, then you could, if you felt that you wanted to wait till the 20th so you could have a little longer to discuss it.
And May 9th might be safer, I mean, in terms of getting it. Because we know that that's a special meeting that we've already made it really clear that we need to have a forum there. So we can try for May
9th. I've got a quick question. Did you make these last year? Is this from last year?
That's from 2 years ago.
And they were actually handed out?
Yes. That's actually what they received.
Okay.
Yes.
What time would... Okay, May 9th would be...
On May 9th, what I suggested was we meet early. It depends. You know, it always depends on how many applications we have, but we're going to spend a lot of time looking at your score sheets and really talking about our concerns or what is it we want to do. And so looking at what they've asked for versus what we can give. And so that's why I suggested, and will that work, Jason, Jim, to work for us to meet at 3:30 on that day, on May 9th, instead of at 4 o'clock? Gives us a little more time. Know yet where that might be, right? I mean, there's a possibility it might
could be here. It might possibly be in our parks conference room.
But you will know.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to, on the timeline and on the scoring form, do I need to get a motion to approve those? On the list of recipients is just for information, but we need a motion on the time to approve the timeline and to approve the scoring form. Is there a motion? You want to look at that a little bit more?
To approve the timeline?
The timeline and the scoring form.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
okay. It's been moved. Okay. Is there
second?
Mr. Talbot? Okay. All those, is there any further discussion on those? Good questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. So we are, I think, and hopefully ready to go on that. It'll be fun to, it really will be, I mean, you may not think this right now, but it will really be fun to see what comes in and what they say they want to do.
Did you have some outrageous things last year?
We've never had any outrageous things. Well, yes, we did. We saw the disapprovals.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yes, the ones that weren't approved, yes. We're beyond the criteria. And so you need to look at that. I mean, because there was one that really seemed to be an art, a visual arts project. But the more you looked at it, the more you thought about it, and you kind of brought your way through it, that, no, this is not a visual arts project. This is a self-esteem project, and it's the focus of it is not art. The focus of itself. So, so you have to look at it carefully. But we have more money this year, too, so we may be able to pick up some of those.
I have a question.
So is there any, are there any further questions on this?
Yeah. On the commissioner pickup on that Thursday, April 25th, what time do we come in here? Business
at what time?
The
on
time?
On the 9th?
On the April 25th.
Yeah,
this has to pick up.
On April
25th? You should pick up the applicant.
Oh, Lisa, what time?
Anytime between 7:30 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Okay. And she will be giving you, at that point, copies of the scoring sheet, one for each application, a scoring sheet for each application that you're picking up. You'll also get a scoring sheet.
You may actually have to see Marion if she'll be there, because I'm actually off on the 25th, but we'll go ahead and set it up so that it's ready for you guys.
So, okay.
Then we just come. Where's your office? The
parks office.
Parks office is
next
on
door.
The corner. It's
that way.
Yeah.
Right there.
That way.
Okay.
Not
that
right
way.
Downstairs.
Yeah,
that
right.
Way.
Over there. Yeah.
That way? So, like, back that way?
It's on the corner.
This way.
It's in front. It's on E Street on the corner.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay.
Otherwise, you'll get into this building. Yeah. Are there any further questions on this?
I cannot be here on May 9th.
When we're making our recommendations.
Okay.
You're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we need to note it. We need to, yeah.
We have seven commissioners.
Could you, would you have recommendations in mind? We can't use you. I mean, we can't use you as a vote, but in just in terms of information, feedback on. Can you
okay.
Could you just score them?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Because that'll help. Okay. Anybody else have a problem with this? I'll get it later. Mr. Mosh, you were going to put together, because I think we had a concern about, you know, a historical site being more than just old. Yeah. And that you were going to put together criteria for that.
Yes, Madam Chair, but I do not have that report ready for this evening's meeting. And we table that for the next meeting, and we'll have that report ready for the commission.
Is there a motion to table that report?
So we're going to continue. We'll be continuing
to
item number three
to
the next meeting.
Yes.
Just continue until the next meeting.
We can continue. Yeah, let's continue the report. To the next regular meeting. How's that? Which would be May 20th. Is there a motion to add that? Continue the report on designating on the criteria to the meeting to continue that until our next regular meeting.
I move that we
continue the motion.
You have to read that, right?
And then, there's a follow-up on the discussion we had. Mr. Marshall, you had more.
No, we did not.
We had a first, we had a first, which is Nick, but we need a second.
I got a second, I'm sorry.
Second. And then a vote?
Discussion?
Well, I'm getting there. You had, Mr. Marshall, you had wondered if we wanted to issue an invitation to the State Historical Preservation Commission, and we did that. And we voted, yes, we do want to issue an invitation.
Yes.
But we don't know how to do it.
But we're still on.
Yeah, we need to drop back to number three, the criteria for.
Yes, we're still on three.
We're on the criteria.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We need to vote on, we need to vote to.
Oh, we need to vote on that, I'm sorry, I thought we had.
Continue that to the next.
We had a motion, we had a second. Is there vote to approve continuing the criteria discussion until May 20th? No, yeah. Everybody?
Discussion.
Is there discussion? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Votes? Now, we did vote to issue an invitation.
All right.
But we don't know exactly how to do it.
Yes. Well, I spoke to Jay Correa, who's head of the unit in the Office of Historic Preservation, and he said since there were several cities mentioned as possible hearing sites for October, that he was open to hearing from San Bernardino, and all he needed, you know, just to give him a call, so I can give you that information,
okay.
Jim. And also give Jay a heads up to expect that. And then you and he can discuss, you know, all the logistics and everything else they, you know, sort of require for hearing.
Does it require?
That would be October 24th, I'm sorry.
Oh, October 24th.
Yeah. What's, what's Jay's last name?
Jay Correa, C-O-R-R, E-I-A.
Do
I'm
they
sorry.
Stay over? I mean, is there any, are there any accommodations required? Other than
there
just
are,
the day
yes,
line?
There are.
Oh, there are.
The staff of OHP stays overnight in the hotel, but that's arranged through their executive secretary's office, and they work with that.
So the cost to us would be minimal, simply in terms of when he talks about a tour and so on and so forth.
Yes, and providing a hearing room for the Friday hearing. Thursday, traditionally, there has been a workshop day, but they, being OHP, have sort of dropped that Thursday requirement. Sometimes, if there's an interest or an interesting possible tour in the city or location, they may say, oh, maybe we'll move to Thursday and Friday, with Friday being the hearing day,
mm-hmm.
Thursday being the day where
the workshop
you meet with, you know, the local historical society,
right,
or go on a tour of a winery or something
sure,
local that commissioners we love, but the staff has to put it together.
So Commissioner Moss,
yes,
if you can give me Jay's contact information,
I'm giving that
I'll,
right.
I'll reach out to him.
All right.
And find out what their needs are,
okay,
for you know, for the hearing site.
Sure, and I can do that right now.
Okay, yeah.
Any further questions or discussions on that? We really need to wait and find out what it is they want.
Yes, Jay is, his title is Registration Supervisor. His work number is 916-445-7008. And his email is jcorr, that's J-C-O-R-R, @parks.ca.gov. He's a really great guy, and it would be cool thing to have it here. That'll be my last hearing as commissioner.
We'll do it at home, huh?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, well, I'll reach out to Jay and find out exactly what their needs are, and then see what facilities, either city owned or we could look at the Garcia Center and see what fits them the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See what their needs are.
Right.
Get some details
and
then
get going,
come back
attention
to at the next meeting with what that looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to be on their radar.
Right.
Sit on the bridge. Or we can take them with a sit on the bridge. How's that? Out on the bridge.
Yeah, that would be very good. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your work on that. The if there's no further discussion on that, then we have a committee. Do we have a subcommittee report on the utility boxes?
Yes. It's short because we're still working on it. We still need to identify the utility boxes that belong to the city and the water department. So we're still working with Chantel. As you know, I looked up the UpDog wrap in Redlands. That was expensive. Commissioner Herrera has another company, and it's actually from San Bernardino, so that's much better.
He's done work with the city before, so I mean, so he's, and it's a small, like I said, it's his own. And so he gave me prices. I just gave him off for two different sizes of boxes, and it just like the for the labor it's like $120, and then in each box, and then it broke it down because I put it pretty much, it's just like a short fat one, and he gave me a price of $155, and then the longer, the tall skinny one is another $135. So the total was like $1,947. But it's just I don't have anything like artwork for him to start on anything, because if I'm gonna leave the artwork to him, then obviously he needs a deposit, because so he knows we're gonna go with him. And it's just, he wants to make sure that we all are all into it, the drawing, what we want on it, what we gotta be specific what we want, so we can just
see. Do the same? Is this a wraparound?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to come up with the symbols we want on it. For example, if on the arrowhead, like in Redlands, they have the oranges. Mm-hmm. So we just have to, as a team, come up with what you want for San Bernardino.
Sure.
So are we still thinking about having either artists in San Bernardino, or just open it to whomever wants to do a design, or have you? You've talked about arrowheads, and so that would be probably more.
I kind of, my opinion, I would like to have it like just raw, not no wrap, just have them come and just do what they're going to do. But I mean, obviously, they have to tell us what they're going to do first, you know. Like, say, if we say, okay, we want just a big old arrowhead, just like surrounding it, but with like the paint, you know, not a wrap, just like come in and paint. So I was thinking that, but like I said, I don't know the guidelines and what they can do. If we can help them with paint, I don't.
Does that sort of depend in your conversations with the owners of the boxes, whether it be the city or whomever? It would probably depend, would it not, on what the owner specifies. And so if the owner wants something wrapped around rather than painted on.
Right.
Yeah, is that what you're... Yeah.
Who's going to be in charge of this?
That's the subcommittee right there.
Okay.
And then we would be, obviously, we would have a lot of approval.
Sure. So well, you guys were thinking more of a, like a little mural.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Instead of a wraparound.
Yeah, so... We were also talking about in downtown having the wraps. Outside of downtown, if it belongs to the city, for example, there's one by San Bernardino High School, and if that belongs to the city, maybe the high school kids can go out and paint those.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in downtown, you know. Or if there's one by Arrowview, the middle school kids can go ahead and participate in that. You know, if they're close to a high school or a college, they can go ahead and adopt the utility box, and they would all be obviously have guidelines. Yes. So,
Commissioner Perez, had you? Because I know you had initially discussed the artwork on the utility boxes with some people from Redlands. Have you had any discussion with them about what their policy? Do they have an existing policy? Is there policies and procedures in place in their, excuse me, in their organization that I guess you would say control this or, you know, control what I, so.
What the criteria?
Yeah, what's the criteria for putting artwork on those utility boxes? Do they have a program with the city already to, you know, they do an outreach or people coming to them?
Well, for the one in downtown Redlands, the city reached out to the company and they went, you know, and after the city approved the quote and the artwork and everything, they went and wrapped the boxes because they do the digital design and they go out and wrap the box. And I believe it's a 5-year warranty on the utility.
But the artwork was requested by the city staff or by
city
representatives?
There were more historical pictures of Redlands in general. What, for example, if you put the old downtown court, they would have a picture of it and a little description of it when it was built, who built it, you know, some historical quote on next to it.
Who was your contact? Who did you contact with the city for that type of information?
Well, I contacted the company, and they told me this information. So I can send you the name of the person.
Yeah, if you could, then I can reach out to them and dig a little bit deeper into the policy side of it.
But that was in Redlands. That was significant. Oh my God, I can't talk today. A little more expensive.
Yeah.
But this one is from San Bernardino, and it's
That's totally. I mean, the cost of installing the wrap is totally unrelated to the policy side of it and the approval process. Those are the steps. I mean, I don't want to reinvent a wheel here. If they already have a process in place, we can look at what their process is and then mold that to fit what we need. And then we can go, and actually, if it's city funds that are going to be supporting the actual installation of the artwork, then we can't just pick one. We're going to have to go out to bid and take the lowest, most responsive bidder for the project.
See, and I like this gentleman because, like I say, he's the owner I spoke to, and he's done several jobs here in San Bernardino, and so like his shop is here. So he's like he just said, you know, he knows some of the like the rules and stuff that he was, you know, because he's been worked in the city. So I don't know. So then he just said, do the most homework you can. That's what he told me. So just come to design. And then, you know, obviously before we start on it, because they're limited of their designers. So we're going to have to give them up front. If we're going to give it to him, say, okay, design it for us. But it's like, say you want a car, you want the arrowhead. You know, if everybody wants something different, we gotta do all the homework for him. And it's like, okay, and then here you go. This is what we want. And
well, again, so then what we're going to have to come up with is a scope of work. What the project is going to involve. So we'd have to come up with a scope of work, put that out to bid, and whoever it is you're talking to is more than welcome to submit a proposal to do that work, but we have to make it available to everybody, not just the people that we've contacted or know. So we would have to identify what the scope of work is, establish that scope of work, and then we could go through our finance department to issue a request for proposal, and then it would go out publicly, and whoever responds and is the lowest and most, it doesn't always have to be the lowest, but if you don't use the lowest price, you have to have some substantial reason to justify why you're not going with the lowest price, whether it be their historical knowledge of the work that's being done, but to just say we like this guy, we don't have the flexibility to do that. So we'd have to, like I said, establish the scope of work and what the specifications are, and then we can send that out to bid.
So when you say send it out, like it's gonna, like how does he find out so he can put a bid on it? Is there?
Well,
like,
we're not at that point.
Oh no. Okay. So okay.
When it gets to that point, though, if he's done work in the city, then he knows what that process.
Yeah.
He should know what that
yeah.
process is. He could get in on our list of bidders that the, there's emails that go out to them, it's advertised publicly, those types of things.
Oh, okay.
And so there's nothing wrong with us reaching out to him saying, it's going out to bid, make sure you keep your eyes open for it.
Just to be clear, now we give them the kind of things we want on the murals, and they design the artwork?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we leave it up to them, and then we, obviously he needs a deposit before he...
We have to do the artwork. You know what I'm getting at? That's what I
always
get.
Well, we could. That's the other option. I mean, and so I think we need to come up with exactly, when we talk about scope of work, what options are we using? Because we've talked about, if the utility box is located near a school, school or a middle school, having a design perhaps done by students. And so I think that's a decision. We need to really come up with some descriptions here in terms of exactly how we are going to do this. Are we talking about residents of the city, including students, residents of the city doing design, or are we talking about the contractor doing the design?
Yeah, that's true. And another thing to think about, I mean, you talked about historical significance in the artwork with a little description of possibly what that is. So those are the types of things that you want to put in those specifications. You know, if the decision of the commission is that we want to do the downtown area with historical murals or wraps, then that needs to be, we need to identify that and make that specifically part of the specification so that we don't have somebody coming in and saying, well, I want a mural of, you know, an art related. So is it, you know, is it going to be art related? Is it going to be historically significant? And or it can be both, but we need to present some parameters so that we don't, because we're going to be we'll be put in a position where there would be something that we don't necessarily think fits what we're trying to do in the downtown area,
yeah,
but
right.
we have no recourse, we have no way to make the decision to not approve that, and then we're going to end up butting our heads against some things, or having to let somebody put something in there that we don't
think
want.
Think about the historical drawings, and just to use that as one possibility.
You mentioned about the arrowhead. You know, the arrowhead certainly is that's kind of like the feature, historical feature.
That's why you really need
or railroads. You know, there's something, you know, roots, you know, something
well,
thematic.
Well, I'm looking at the seal. Why can't the themes be taken from the seal?
We can do that.
There's lots of things.
I would just change that date though.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm just saying, I'm looking
not
at
the seal, but the content.
Yeah, I'm looking at each one. That could be a theme.
That really is good.
Each one could be
right.
a theme in itself.
You're right, right.
And then I say,
in keeping with the history of San Bernardino.
Absolutely right.
So if we wanted some kind of parameters, that might be. I'm just suggesting.
So that's a great idea because when I talked to UpDoc Rep, I told them about the seal and I sent them a digital copy and I said, you know, the arrowhead, if they're not aware of our arrowhead, the oranges, although their utility boxes are oranges, so
it's okay.
We don't.
They weren't the only one.
As well as the,
they just capitalized.
Yeah, it's okay.
As well as the Santa Fe Railroad.
Yeah,
good. So.
Like the gentleman I spoke to, if we had like this picture, it's like, okay, this is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if everybody agree with it, okay,
sure.
Cool, he can do that. Or if somebody like, you give me a paper and you drew something, but are you guys against like the graffiti type art? You know, what if somebody comes with this symbol and just the writing is just like more of a graffiti type? I don't know, like this, and you guys don't like it.
That's why we need to have criteria for it. So that we do, you know, it's probably going to have to be more limiting than some of us might want, but we really need to do that. The grant, to the California Arts Council, which we should find out about next month, whether we're getting it or not. This really, doing something like this, really ties in nicely with that downtown idea, that idea of expanding the arts in downtown. And so I think we can somehow, as we move ahead on this, we can tie that in really nicely, particularly if we find out that we have money.
we can tie that in really nicely with what's happening.
How would we decide, or who, what the theme would be? We come up, the ideas. Would it be the individual?
Well, we need it's us to come up with the theme, and then to agree, and then tell the artists and say, okay, this is what we want, or tell the gentleman and say, okay, this is what we want, this, this, and this, and that, and then give them that, or tell the artist and say, this is what we want. Can you submit a little rough draft and then show you guys, and then can agree, and then submit you?
Yes, and they're gonna give us a digital artwork of what's gonna look like, and we have to approve it before.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, anything. And we can, if you guys don't like anything, then we can go back and change it.
But going back to the criteria and the parameters for the program, if you don't have those established, it just becomes the opinion of members of the board and the preference of members of the board. And having something written that provides those guidelines will help eliminate anybody coming back at you guys. Somebody could possibly come in and submit something that's offensive, hate group related, any of those types of things. If we don't have some, if we don't have some specific guidelines that prohibit that, then it becomes a battle between the commission and this individual. And what's better, it's better to just face that and eliminate that prior to putting any of this stuff out there.
And a place to find out, and just to look at as an example, would be the, not that the art acquisition policy might apply to this, but the criteria that are listed in the art acquisition policy that's currently in the city, in the attorney's office, that you might want to look at that criteria, because that really tightens it in terms of the kinds
and
of
they have to align. You can't have one. You can't have your. We can't have this art acquisition policy that has one set of guidelines and then a specific individual program that contradicts those guidelines. We've got to make sure that everything is in alignment as we move.
So you might want to look at that as you put together a draft of criteria. And then we need the scope of work and just more information in terms of more specific information. The two of you have done fantastic, something fantastic in 1 month. But we need, I think, just more specific information brought to our next regular meeting, probably, which would be May 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound okay?
Yes.
All right. Okay. I left out photos of murals update. That was just... Are people still taking photos? And
yes.
Mr. Montesino, you were going to have your son, somebody drive you around and take photos.
In my ward.
You know what?
He's on vacation this coming week.
Okay.
He works, and I'm all over the place.
I didn't want to put you on the spot, but
yeah,
I'm not saying that.
I know where there's a lot of them already. But go out there
from
and get
murals
them.
In your
my ward,
there
yeah.
Yes, there are. Yeah.
I found some that I didn't even know were there.
Are you familiar with Vital Signs?
Which
one? Vital Signs, it's called. And it's they're photographs that were taken by Tom McGovern, who's a professor at Cal State, and most of them are in the first ward.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might want to take a look at that. Vital Signs, if you want, I can, if you want to come over to the Garcia Center, there's a, it's over, it's in there.
Right there on the 11th?
Somebody else might have it. But
you're on the 11th right there in E?
It's in the library at the Garcia Center.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And it's other places, probably in the downtown library too. I just haven't checked that. But Vital Signs by Tom McGovern and Juan Delgado. Anybody else have an update on that? And we will at some point. And remember, you're supposed to be submitting them to Lisa, and she's keeping a collection of them, and then we'll decide how we're going to display them. The art acquisition policy is still in the city attorney's office.
Actually, I'm finishing up the changes that need to be done, and then I'll get it to the city manager.
Okay,
or
so
the
we'll
city
work
attorney's
on that
office.
At another meeting also. Are there agenda item requests for future meetings? Obviously, we know that we're going to be talking about the utility boxes. We
know that we're going to be talking about the invitation of the State Historical Commission. We know that we're going to be talking about the criteria for designating historical sites. Do you have other, items that you want to be on future meetings? Or do we have enough on our plate?
Oh, we have enough on our plate.
Announcements, or oral report or announcements. Yeah, do you have any announcements?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's not official. I just want maybe get excited. I don't know. I called the Smithsonian out of Washington, D.C. To see if they could support us in the project that I'm trying to do. You know, if you've been to San Bernardino High School's auditorium, we have a historical mural, WPA mural, and we don't have funding to you know, keep it up to date, but maybe that I called the Smithsonian and they said that they could potentially help us because they have some of the artwork for that the student who made some of that artwork.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's pretty exciting.
That's
awesome.
Good.
Mr. Montesino, do you
no.
have any announcements? Okay. And I don't have any. Unless all of you want to see a film this Friday that was made in 1927. It's a silent film. It's a sci-fi silent film made in 1927 and A Vision of the Future. What people don't face, what people find in 1927. Yeah, made in Germany and with English subtitles.
Cool.
It'll be at 7 o'clock at the Civic Center.
This the project that our historical society has been involved with for the last couple of years, it's definitely a historic preservation. Although it's not in the city, it's located in the Cajon Pass, Camp Cajon, is a campground that was located in the pass from 1919 to 1938. And it was built to kind of give, you know, an honor to the earlier settlers that came through the pass, but primarily for the new settlers that were passing through on the old National Old Trails Road, which was, you know, the early Model T cars. And 19 was, at the time, they had about 50 tables, concrete, circular concrete tables, which 20 of them were at Parasol Park today, and 20 at, if you go there to Parasol Park, they're round circular tables with plaques in the middle.
Are they concrete?
You've seen them at Parasol. I know there are a lot of
concrete. Yeah, a lot of concrete. Yeah, Parasol. Yeah.
Are they concrete?
Yeah, concrete. Yeah. Actually, in 1938, the big flood in 1938 wiped out, you know, a lot of, you know, the infrastructure in Southern California, and including the campground. And with, you know, what was saved, only thing that was saved were about 40 tables. Now, basically the tables were erected by William Bristol. He was a rancher from Highland. It was his idea to develop this campground and to get the money to, you know, build this place. So he, you know, got, you know, different cities and organizations to donate so much money to have their plaque in the middle of the table. So if you go to Parasol Park, you weren't there. Yeah, you go. Unless I'm some apple the last few months, but go back there. It's, you know, where the tennis, what's to the right of the tennis courts. It's kind of far in, but they may have been painted.
Is it behind the pool?
I think, yeah, because it's behind.
Rock garden.
There may be some in the rock garden.
Well, you know, no, it wouldn't be in the rock garden. It would be in that garden. Yeah, it's right in the main part. Yeah, there are plaques that will say, like, Fontana, the citrus capital of the world, whatever, Highland, you know, I mean, anything they want to put in there. You know, the Rebecca Club, the, you know, Sons of the Golden West, whatever. But it's pretty cool. And anyway, what we're doing in the past, in close proximity to where the camp was, which basically, if you know where McDonald's is in the Cajon Pass, just go a little southbound from that along Wagon Train Road, which was part of the National Old Trails Road, and later on Route 66. That's where it was located. And we're putting a monument that's going to be a replica of the original monument that was put there on July 4th, 1919. So we're getting the funds, we're getting the work involved, and July 4th, 2019, we'll have this adaptation. So it's pretty cool. I've got a couple.
Who's sponsoring it?
The San Bernardino Historical Pioneer Society, the Mojave River Valley Museum. There's about five different groups. Wrightwood Historical Society. It's a real joint collaboration. And Albert Okura from Montoya is. I asked him if he would about chicken, and he's donating chicken for everybody. So he'll probably get 4,000 from chicken. But oh, he's so good. But Parks and Rec. The Parks Department. Cynthia Alvarado, I was talking to her. I know she's not with the Parks, so I'm not sure what the connection is now. But I even mentioned a while back that eventually we'd like to maybe move one of those tables from the park up there, be next to the monument.
Nick, do me a favor, and if you could go back and look at, excuse me, any of the email conversations that you had with Cynthia regarding this.
Okay.
Forward those over to me.
Okay, I'll do that.
So
okay,
that
yeah.
Pick those up, make sure they don't just.
Okay, good. Yeah, and there was somebody else I spoke to.
I spoke to you about the tables.
Oh, you? Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, at the time I didn't know the other one. Okay, good. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Yes. This past Saturday, April 6th, I spoke at a program in Redding, California. It's called Voices of the Golden Ghosts, and it was about African Americans in the gold fields in the gold area up past Sacramento in the Redding and Shasta area, and it was held at Shasta College. Well attended. I was very surprised. Series of speakers and also historical vignettes, but performed by first-time actors, and it was really wonderful. It was cold and wet and rainy.
Yeah.
But there must have been 250 or 300 people out to see this program, which in Reading, which absolutely floored me. So, but encouraged me at the same time that there are people who are interested in history if it can be presented in different ways and different formats.
Sure.
It's interesting, and sometimes when you present some fictions, it's more palatable than when you present it with a novel or historical tome that no one reads. So that was an encouraging trip we made. So I'd like to share that one. It's called Voices of the Golden Ghost. You may be able to find it online, YouTube, or something.
On YouTube, maybe?
Maybe.
Did they? But you don't know of any other than being on YouTube? You don't know of anybody else?
Someone was saying it was streaming live on Facebook at the time.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. I just did my part. In that.
Wow. That's cool.
More about the media.
If there are no further announcements, then we will adjourn this meeting at 5 o'clock. A few minutes after 5. And is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
Is there a second? all those
no hesitation.
Aye.
Because we're going to be seeing we're going to be seeing a lot of each other this month. And remember, don't forget the 25th. That's really important.
I'm going
to
see the
guests
this
summer. I'm
sorry. You'll forget everything.
I saw you back there. Did you want to speak?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's that issue.